RNZ Pacific News, Kia ora, I'm Koroi Hawkins. The President of the Marshall Islands wants the United States to be held to account for nuclear weapons testing in the Pacific. Hilda Heine told Japan's Asahi Shimbun News the U.S. should be held responsible for cleaning up radioactive contamination and protecting the health of islanders affected by its nuclear testing. The U.S. conducted 67 nuclear weapons tests in the Marshall Islands between 1946 and 1958. She says Marshall Islands cannot afford the massive cleanup costs and its medical system falls short of being able to take care of the many cancer patients apparently linked to the nuclear weapons testing. The World Health Organization's Western Pacific Regional Director says no child should die of measles. According to the WHO, measles cases jumped by 225% from just over 1,400 in 2022 to more than 5,000 last year in the Western Pacific region. Dr. Saya Maupiukala says the increase in recent cases has come off the back of historically low levels of infections from 2020 to 2022.
No child should get sick or die from measles. The only thing that we can do is make sure that they receive the measles rubella vaccination.
Pacific nations have been conducting nationwide measles and rubella immunization campaigns to improve vaccination rates that dropped during the COVID-19 pandemic. Federated States of Micronesia President Wesley Simina has declared a national emergency due to severe drought. A task force has been set up for relief efforts and to monitor vulnerable populations. $1.3 million has been injected into a disaster relief fund. The declaration has been sent to FSM's Congress for review. 2 years after beginning consultations, the Bougainville Constitutional Planning Commission has released its first draft of a homegrown constitution. Bougainville expects to become independent of Papua New Guinea within 3 years, and writing a constitution is a key part of that process. Don Wiseman has more.
The draft constitution is the result of 40 commissioners travelling throughout Bougainville to garner the people's views. The commissioners included women, youth and former combatants and church representatives. The data collected by the commissioners was then compiled into a draft constitution by Australian National University Professor Anthony Regan and Katie Leroy. The president, Ismail Toroama, welcomed the first draft but says work is still needed to fine-tune the document. A final first draft is expected next month.
Fiji's new Great Council of Chiefs Chairman Ratu Viliame Seruvakula says the chiefly body will remain apolitical and will not be used as a rubber stamp for political causes. In the past, members of the former council had taken sides politically, including in the country's 4 coups. Ratu Viliame says striving to be neutral is critical for the chiefs and the new council and important for Fiji's growth as a multicultural country.
If we remain apolitical, and stay in the middle and guide and look at both sides of the society and unite and be a uniting factor, I believe the GCC will be play a vital role in the future as we move forward.
Ratu Viliame, a former senior Fiji Army officer, was elected chairman of the GCC at a meeting for the GCC in Duba outside of Suva 2 weeks ago. The chief electoral officer in Solomon Islands has revealed just 6% of the candidates contesting the national election are women. Jasper Anisi says there are 334 registered candidates, 21 of whom are female. Mr. Anisi says the vetting of candidates will be completed today before a final list is made public. Solomon Islands has historically had low female representation in politics. 4 of the 52 MPs in the last parliament were women. Australia's federal government has been forced to reveal it bungled issuing visas to 149 people released from immigration detention. The ABC's Matthew Doran reports.
Commonwealth lawyers stumbled upon technical issues with the visas and scrambled to reissue them for the cohort released from immigration detention in the wake of last year's landmark NZYQ High Court ruling. In the months since they were released, several have been arrested for breaching monitoring and curfew conditions set out in the visas, but may now escape conviction due to the bureaucratic mistake. Immigration Minister Andrew Giles says it's been fixed.
Visas have been reissued with appropriately strict conditions. And again, there has been no change to the strict monitoring arrangements for every one of these people.
The federal opposition says it's another example of his poor handling of the matter.
A new service for survivors of abuse in New Zealand state care is aiming to break cultures of shame by providing people with an outlet to share their stories. The launch of the Survivors Experiences Service follows a high-level inquiry into abuse in state and faith-based care. Survivor Experiences Service Board co-chairs Frances Tangaloa and Eugene Ryder are both survivors of abuse in state care. Ms. Tangaloa says many survivors are Pasifika, Maori and disabled people.
We're a service that is for all survivors of abuse and care, past and present. So any survivor of abuse and care, please come forward. You know, please feel free to tell your story. You'll be safe, you'll be supported, and we will hold it confidentially.
In world news, the EU's foreign policy chief says starvation is being used as an arm of war in Gaza. Joseph Borrell described the lack of aid entering the territory as a man-made disaster.
This is a humanitarian crisis which is not a natural disaster. It's not a earthquake. And when we look for alternative ways of providing support by sea or by air, we have to do it because the natural way of providing support through roads is being closed, artificially closed. And starvation is being used as a war arm.
The UN has welcomed the opening of a maritime corridor from Cyprus to deliver additional aid to Gaza, but it can't replace the delivery of aid by land. A spokesperson for the late Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny says his former chief of staff, Leonid Volkov, has been attacked with a hammer outside his home in Lithuania. He has been taken to hospital by ambulance. The BBC's Sarah Rainsford reports.
Members of Alexei Navalny's team say the unknown attacker smashed the car window, sprayed tear gas at Leonid Volkov, and then began to beat him with a hammer. Pictures they've posted show Mr. Volkov with a bloodied left leg and what looks like bruising to the forehead. It's not clear whether this attack is linked in any way to his political activity, but it will be extremely worrying for the whole Navalny team, just a few weeks after the opposition leader himself died suddenly in a Russian prison.
In sport, things have gone from bad to worse for the winless Crusaders, with the defending Super Rugby champions losing captain Scott Barrett to injury. The All Blacks' lock has fractured his finger and will be out for 6 weeks. The Crusaders have lost their opening three matches of the season for the first time since 1996 and playing the table-topping and unbeaten Hurricanes in Christchurch on Friday night. Coach Rob Penny concedes losing Barrett is a major blow.
He's a great leader. His on-field performances are world-class every week. He's such an inspirational guy. But what we've got is really hungry young men determined to make their mark on this place.
Moana Pasifika veterans Seko Pikepu and Christian Lealifano have been named in the starting lineup to meet the Western Force on Saturday in round 4 of Super Rugby Pacific. Head coach Falongo Tana Umanga has named Manu Samoa Sevens rep Melani Matavao on the bench. Julian Savia, Super Rugby's leading try scorer, gets another chance to extend his record after being named at number 12 again for his fourth game for Moana Pasifika. Flanker Sione Havili Talitui will lead the side again in the absence of injured captain James Lay. Moana Pasifika has one win from three matches so far and is currently ninth on the points table. The All Whites will play 15th-ranked Mexico in September in California. The two sides played at the same venue in 2010, with Mexico winning 2-0 in front of a 90,000-capacity crowd. Meanwhile, Arsenal's survived a penalty shootout to scrape past Porto and reach the quarterfinals of the Champions League for the first time in 14 years. That's news and sports from RNZ Pacific. There's more on our website, rnzi.com.